Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Let's just pray, shall we? Father, I want to thank you so much that you are encouraging us this morning to take a stand, to stand on the rock of our salvation, whose name is Jesus. I thank you that that rock is immovable, unshakable, indestructible, and it's not a Mistron. Hallelujah. It is the rock of Jesus. And I thank you that anybody in this room right now who is sitting here and their life just feels shaken, or it's under turbulence, or there's tremors going on, I thank you that in these next few moments you want to release confidence and encouragement and just remind them that it's time. It's time to see God do a miracle in their life. So we thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit to show us Jesus. And people said amen. Reason why I've prayed is just because I was sat at the back next to Janet, which is really nice to do. I like sitting at the back. A bit wibbly, mate. I like sitting at the back because I like to kind of just detach myself a little bit from, you know, from trying to make things happen or just whatever. And I just felt in my heart that there's some people here this morning and you don't have a lot of reasons to be joyful. Doesn't feel like you want to give thanks for anything. And although, you know, to hear Sharon, you know, we've journeyed with Sharon and we've seen God do so much through her and in her. And let me just tell you, if you don't know this, Sharon has been the most upbeat, full of faith, confident in Jesus person that I've ever met. And going through the journey of challenge around health, it's like, there is an example there and I want to live like it. But let me just tell you, there is another kind of cancer that God wants to deal with, and that's the cancer of unforgiveness. And it's just as real, it's just as powerful, it has just exactly the same effect. But today, God wants you to be free from that. So I don't know whether you've come hurt, whether you've come as a hurter or a hurt person, I have no idea. All I know is Jesus wants to set you free today. I don't know whether you've come with a sense of the world is against you, or maybe you think the world owes you something. I just want you to leave knowing that Jesus is for you. And when you realize that, you'll realize that if he, take the if out, he is for you. If you give your life, if you give your crisis, if you give your storm, if you give your worry, if you give your shaking, if you give your heartache or your headache to Jesus, he will come in and change it magnificently for you. I just want to encourage you that just in these last few days, you know, we've heard some stories, but I'm sure there are many others, is that I've come through a time of shaking. It's like, God, what is going on? What are you doing? What are you not doing? Where are you going? Where are you not going? And Jesus just says, just stay focused. Don't listen to the noise of rumbling, but listen to the noise of truth. Don't look for the easy path. Jesus never said it was easy, but he did say it was narrow. And I just want to encourage you this morning, God's got you here to set you up for a breakthrough today. God has brought you here this morning to set you up to see growth. It can almost feel like we're being pressured and we're being pushed in and we're being restricted and we're being constricted. But let me just tell you, around the corner is your freedom. Around the corner is your space. Because the Bible says he leads everybody into a spacious place. That includes you, my friend. You might just think as if everything is, I can't move, I can hardly breathe. Let today the Holy Spirit be your breath. Let today Jesus' truth of who he is and what he's done for you become your lifeline. The Bible says that many people trust in horses and chariots, which is the things the world can offer. But I've decided to trust in the Lord. Do you understand what I've decided? There's a song there. I have decided. If you're over 50, you know it. If you're over 18, you can sing it, you're doing well. But as a church, we've been journeying through Scripture, and I love the fact that, you know, in these next few days through March, we're going to be looking at John. There's a lot in the book of John. I don't know whether you know some of the writers of the Bible, but it's amazing to me that God inspired people to write down truth. And John particularly had such a sense of the heart of God, the heart of Jesus. It was said of John, in fact, John said it of himself, didn't he? Is that he wanted to have an ear to the heart of Jesus kind of relationship. And I think that's great for John, but also I want one like that. I don't know about you. Do you want a relationship like that? I want a relationship like that, where I know that I can just lean in. And again, if you're coming here, if you're here this morning, and I know some of you aren't, it just feels just hard, then God wants you to lean into him this morning. Lean on him. In Proverbs it says, lean not on your own understanding, which means I can, but he doesn't want me to. He doesn't want you to. Lean on him, and he will make your paths straight. So today, God wants to straighten us up. Hey, Norton, put it there, man. We had such a great lunch yesterday. We took over to Toby Carvery, 10 of us, feisty, full of faith. And then by the time we finished, we were also full of turkey, pork. And somebody mentioned duck, but I never saw any. I think that was my friend Blake over there. I don't know whether he brought his own duck. Where's Shane? Shane, I thought he was going to bring some roast kangaroo or Skippy in toast or something. I have no idea. But, mate, it was a great time. If you're a bloke, then can I encourage you, keep your eyes open. Because we're going to be doing that again, aren't we? All right, Norton, please say yes. Excellent, okay. Good man. So, ladies, you probably had a bit of a break yesterday. Well done. I ended up looking after your husbands, brothers, friends. But we did get to have a few words for the bloke that was looking after us called Matt. Got to know him a bit, prayed for him. He was blessed. So it's time to stand up on your feet. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, bits from the Bible. They're going to come up on the screen behind me. So if you haven't got your Bible, it's fine. We're going to be looking at Acts. Currently in February, we're kind of journeying through the book of Acts, and we're going to be finishing that off on Tuesday and going into John. And Acts 26, 15 to 18, there's a tremendously powerful piece of the Bible here, which isn't actually Jesus speaking at this time. It's actually the man who experienced God in his life just recounting to others what Jesus said to him. So this is really real. It's very relevant. This happened at the moment. And this is a real-time piece of the Bible. So the Bible is not only a great piece of history, it's also a great fact about how God thinks and what he does. And this is a key one. Acts 26, 15 to 18. And this is Paul. Paul was a man who said to himself, I'm the biggest failure God has ever met. This was Paul. Paul said, I'm the worst wrongdoer that there's ever been. This is Paul who said, I am the most against God of anybody that I know. This is Paul that said, I'm the most religious, I'm the most restricted, I'm the most limited person I've ever realized that thinks like me. This was Paul that was saying this. This was a Paul that even allowed murder to happen around his world. He even allowed violence. He wasn't a good bloke. He wasn't a spiritual person in the sense that we might think. This was Paul that said this. The Lord said, he said, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up. I'm just going to pause there. I don't know about you, but in my world, in my experience, when someone's having a go at me, having a moan, having a bit of a dig, being quite violent, being quite aggressive, I don't know whether I would not have said, stay down there. Hallelujah. Maybe you would not have done. Oh, hello, John. Was that you or me? Was it me? I need some help if it was me. If it was my microphone, we're all right. Trousers. Is when you've got this man who was so totally against what God wanted and what God desired, and he was totally living outside of God. I don't know about you, but I would not have said, get up. I'd have said, stay there, you miserable worm. I'd have said, stay there until you got your life sorted out. Stay there and lick my boots. Don't sit there thinking you'd have said something else, because you probably wouldn't have done. You got the person that's been giving you a lot of this. You got a person that's been sending all the funny texts, who's been saying all the stuff to all your friends, that they just have got kind of verbal diarrhea when it comes to encourage. It's just like, it's not very nice. Well, they ignore you. They don't befriend you. You feel as if people are opposed to you. This was how Paul was to Jesus. How more? And yet Jesus still said, get up. I think it's time to get up. I think it's time to look beyond the mess that we've made and look beyond the solution that God's provided. He said it's time to get up and stand on your feet. You see, I'm just so thankful that this man who was diligent towards crucifying Christians, he was dominant in expressing his way of thinking and his philosophies. Jesus suddenly said, get up then. At least Paul started in the right place. He realized, I'm not going to make this work. What I'm doing isn't right. But I love the response that Jesus had. Get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you, not to judge you, not to condemn you, not to punish you, not to whip you, not to be violent towards you, but I've appeared to appoint you. I want to give you a job. I want to give you a destiny. I want to give you a new future and a bright hope. I want to give you something which you've never earned and you never worked for. I want to give you something that I've worked for. That's what this means. What an encouragement. What a God. Don't you think? We all make mistakes. Some of us are gifted at it. Everybody that laughs knows what I'm talking about. Some of us are really good at getting it wrong. Jesus is awesome at putting it right. Sometimes we just muck up. We just dip out. We just dig a hole and bury ourselves, and yet God will still come with a shovel and say, come on then. But when Jesus appeared to this guy who Jesus had every right to say, out, clear off, go away. He said, no, I've turned up to show you something and to make you something. Can I just suggest that Jesus wants to do the same today? Jesus hasn't changed. He's the same today as he was then. And let me just tell you, he'll be the same tomorrow. We all muck up. We all do stuff which we regret. But Jesus will never come and say, oh, remember that. He remembers that. We remember that. But if we stand up and go through the process that we're going to explain in a minute, Jesus forgets what we don't forget sometimes. The Bible says he'll remember it no longer. That's good, isn't it? Isn't this encouraging? Thanks, Isabel. Okay. Isn't it encouraging? It then goes on and says, I will appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you've seen and will see of me. I will rescue you. I don't know about you, but I need rescuing. Yesterday, in the Toby Carvery, I was there with 9 blokes. I needed rescuing. Hallelujah. I was like, oh God. I was surrounded by Australians, South Africans, Americans. It was like, Jesus, help me. Hallelujah. Even people from Essex were there with me. You were waiting for that, weren't you? That's why we put you both together. It's safer. It's that we were waiting. I was waiting for God. You've got to come and do something. And then about 10 seconds after that, the waiter, I think he, what did he do? Did he do something like that? Yeah, and he had blessed tattooed up his arm. And I thought, I'm taking that as a sign from God. Because everybody knows that God is English, right? Yeah. Read your Bible. Anyway, so I will rescue you from your own people. I don't know about you. This has been true for me. Is sometimes the people that should love me the most don't always. I don't know how long you've known Jesus. I don't know whether some of you know Jesus in the way that he wants us to know him. I have no idea. That's between you and God right now. But all I know is that sometimes the people that know Jesus the most treat us the worst. Would that be fair to say? Which is why I think Jesus firstly reminds you and me he's going to rescue us from people that we need rescuing from. Why? Because God will never speak a bad word over you. He'll never initiate a bad work concerning you. He'll never send things to harm, hurt or damage you. But stuff happens. What he's showing me is in the middle of mess, he is like thunderbirds. Well done, Graham. He is like international rescue. I'll rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open up their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan, which should have a small s. We need to correct that. To God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, again, I kind of started this conversation off really between God, between Jesus and this guy. He shouldn't have had this conversation with God. Should have been really short. Can't use you, you're rubbish, clear off. That's what we may have thought this conversation should have been, but God doesn't think like that. So there's no condemnation, there's no punishment, offense, guilt, or shame. There is nothing to push us down or keep us down. Jesus says, get up. I have no idea what it is that you're kind of trying to push up through. All I know is that if you let Jesus, he'll push through with you and he'll push through for you. I have no idea what you're trying to stand up with. All I know is if you let God, he'll stand up with you and for you. Thank you, Graham. Welcome back. His nature, in other words, will always dominate our condition. What I mean by that is he is too healthy to let us stay in sickness. He is too loving to allow us to stay in areas where there's no love. He is too gracious to allow us to stay without any sense of let's give. He is too generous to allow us to stay poor. His nature, who he is, will always dominate where we are. Just look at the person next to you and say, I didn't know that. Even if you did, just say you didn't, just to please me. Hold it. We'll always dominate our condition. His strength, our weakness. His hope, our hopelessness. His strength, our weakness, etc. And his desire for us to stand is always greater than our desire not to. Can I put it this way? If we let Jesus, he will make us stand head and shoulders above others. Not for our sake, but for his. I found this to be true when I was working out in the world a lot more than I do now. And there was Jehovah's Witnesses there, and Muslims there, and Hindus there, and Buddhists there, and couldn't care less this there. There were alcoholics there. There were all kinds of people there. I suddenly found, oh, God! And God says, just let me make you stand. Don't try and fight. Just believe me. Because that's a fight sometimes. He said, don't try and oppose, but represent who I am. So it wasn't a case of clashing of cultures. It was just a case of, God, you just got to help me to stand. He said, right, I'm going to do that. And after six years, I was standing above other people in the sense of, you're a Christian, can you pray for me? We know you believe that there's a God. Can you come and talk to me about God? I've lost count of the number of people that just got healed of smoking over lunchtime. I was environment there, everybody was smoking apart from me. I was just smoking for Jesus. Hallelujah. I was just coming in, it's kind of smell. He's like, what's that smell? That's the smell of Jesus. I'm on fire. Hallelujah. Yours is Benson and Hedges, mine's Jesus. And suddenly, one after another, it's like, how can I live a life like yours? By putting your faith in the same person I did. His name is Jesus, and he'll make you stand up. Because he's appointed you for such a time as this. Here's a saying from, did I give you 1 Timothy 1:15 or 16? You can find it, can't you, Ben? This is just Paul again, just reinforcing. Don't worry if you can't. Here's a trustworthy saying. This is Paul speaking. Christ Jesus came into the world to save people that had done wrong, of whom I'm the worst. But for that very reason, save for that very reason. Well, you might be sitting here thinking, I'm the worst person in the room. If everybody knew me, they'd hate me. God knows you, and he still doesn't hate you. I'm going to go off this microphone in a minute, though. Is it my connection? Put it in my back pocket. It's all right, we have met. I have no idea. Pray for it. Stop it. Okay. Here is a trustworthy singing. But for that very reason, I will show mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who believe. Can I just suggest that whatever you feel like right now, God wants to turn that right around so that you become a you become a storybook for somebody. So when we stand, when Paul stood up, he didn't stand in his own knowledge, he stood in the knowledge of God. I just wrote 7-8 things down here, and some of them already come out through service time, some of them already come out through prayer. So we're either all totally fooled, and I don't believe we are, or some invisible person is setting us up this morning, and I do believe that. His name is Jesus, hallelujah. But when Paul stood up, and when we stand up in the grace of God. I stand up in the more than enough of Jesus, and so can you today. I stand in the mercy of God. God prevents me from getting what I deserve. Paul, like me, deserved punishment. God's not going to give me punishment. Paul, like me, deserved guilt, but he's not going to give me guilt. Paul, like me, deserved to be shoved out, but God doesn't want to shove us out. He wants to shove us in. I stand in the presence of God. It's like I didn't even know God was around. I've been going to church for years, but God's here. God's always been here. It's just that we've not stood up. We stand up in the health of Jesus. That came out a while ago, didn't it? We stand in the power of God. Hello. We stand in the love of God. We stand in the strength of God. We stand in the faith of God. I believe God wants to send us out from this place standing not in our own confidence, but in the confidence of his nature. Jesus doesn't want you trying to make it work. He wants you to give the work for him and let him work it through us. Jesus doesn't want us to leave thinking we've got to pour out blood, sweat, and tears. The Bible tells me he's already done that for me. He did it a couple of thousand years ago on the cross, blood, sweat, and tears. And he's done it for you. You may not know Jesus today. He still did it for you. You may hate God today. He still did it for you. You might have known Jesus once and you've let him go. He wants to come back and help you stand up. We stand in his riches and we stand in the freedom of Jesus. It's Ben, you will have this one. He's been on the edge of his little button there. Isaiah 35, 3-4 says this. I will strengthen their feeble hands and steady their knees that give way, so that those with fearful hearts be strong. There is something about the nature of God that just makes us stronger a bit on the inside. It's like Sharon through her journey when the world's saying this and medical's saying that and history's saying this, but inside of it, stand up. Or maybe you, where you're going through a bit of heartache or headache, or there's stuff not kind of working out in the house or in the workplace, is Jesus is saying, come on, stand up. Stand up in me before you stand up for me. Now you've got to stand up in me. Many of us think, I'm standing up for Jesus. Yeah, but are you standing in Jesus? Or are you just having a moan? Because Jesus doesn't have a moan. Oh, well, I don't like the way the world's going. Well, that's good, because it's not your world and it's not your responsibility to change it. God so loved the world. But it's not right. Then stand up in him as right. But it's not how it should be. Then stand up in him who puts all things right. Let's not start arguing with the world. Let's start defending the gospel. Be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. Come on, Blake. See, if I think it's true and he does, everybody in the middle, you're in trouble, right? He's sat at the back. I'm at the front. Everybody in the middle. God's going to get you. He's going to get you. He's going to get you. Hallelujah. Jesus appeared and appointed. Jesus always shows up with a desire to do something, set something in place, set something in motion, enable, empower, shape and define. They're all my words, but that's what I believe Jesus always does. He doesn't just say, Andrea, let's just borrow Andrea a little. He doesn't just say up and say, oh, Andrea, I really feel sorry that it's hard for you. Just keep praying and you'll be fine. It's not what he does. He says, Andrea, I've gifted you. I've blessed you. You've got great resources. You've got great strength. That's how Jesus is. Thank you. That was amazing. Jesus has appointed you to do something, be something, set something in motion. He's enabled you to do that, empowered you. To do what? To be a servant and a witness. What does that mean? It means serve him and serve others. When I don't like serving others, then you need to stand up in Jesus and not in you then. When Jesus first appeared, he didn't come to be served, but to serve. I believe as Christians, it's our joy. Again, Andrea mentioned something at the beginning. Maybe you missed it when she said, it's just an honor to be in front. For me, I'd much sooner be sitting at the back. To be honest with you, the people that know me know that's true. But I can't serve you at the back in the same way I am now. So I love to sit at the back, but I love to serve Jesus more, which is why I'm stood up here with fear and trembling. And you might think, oh, well, it doesn't sound like it. That's grace. You don't know what's going on inside me, which is, where's the door? I want to leave. Hallelujah. Oh, hello. So servant and a witness. God wants you and is using you and will use you even more to show him off in the world that he's put you in. To serve him, to serve others, and to be a witness. We've mentioned, I will rescue you. There's a safety and a security when we stand up in God. We're not just saved from yesterday, we're saved today and we're protected from tomorrow. This guy, Paul, when you read the book of Acts, you couldn't write a book about it, except somebody did. Shipwrecked, stoned, which means stuff was... He had the lot happen to him. And others that did the same thing, some of the stuff is like, you couldn't make a film about it and show it before nine. But these men, these women, people like you, people like me, they just learned, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to get up. I'm not going to let the world shape me. I'm going to let Jesus reshape me. I'm not going to let the world transform me. I'm going to let the presence of Jesus transform me. We've got some Bible school students here in the congregation. I love them because they're always writing down loads of notes. It's either that or the shopping. Is it you're doing shopping? What is it? Okay. It goes on in Isaiah 35, a bit after this, verse 5, I think. It says, do not be strong, do not fear. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. This isn't just an Alan Titchmarsh garden, all right? Or this is Robert's dream. You know, it's a Robert, it's a dream. It's like, I had a dream. What this is saying is that when we stand up in the nature of God, when we let God cause us to arise, things happen around us. They happen by design. God has designed you, he's designed me, not just to stand up and see who Jesus really is, but to show him off to others. He's designed you, he's designed me, he's designed our young people, he's designed our youth, what they stand up, and as soon as they begin to stand up, people begin to see, people begin to hear, people begin to walk differently. I believe that's what God wants us to see this week. This week, it's quite exciting. We have a missions week. Now, in my head, every week's a missions week. But sometimes you just want to kind of gather resources, people, prayer, praise and worship. It's on Wednesday, this coming week, the 1st of March, at about 10, there's going to be 40, 50 of us down in South Street preaching the gospel. But it ain't no good going down there unless we've stood up in Jesus before we go. So this is not about the church standing up. This is about Jesus standing up. On Tuesday, we're going to be down in Horsham doing something. On Thursday, over in Crawley doing something. Then again on Friday, that'll be something like the 3rd of March, we'll be in Broadwater at the shops. Not going buying stuff, but giving stuff away. Why? Because, I don't know about you, but I love Sundays. God is doing some powerful things on Sundays. I love it. People getting healed and people finding their miracle in Jesus. People having their eyes, it's great. But the more I have, the more I want to give away. And that's what Paul was experiencing here. So I don't know whether you're in the outreach small group. Apparently it's one of our smallest small groups in the whole congregation, which, to be honest with you, upsets me slightly. Because it should be one of the biggest. Now, you don't have to be in a small group to witness to Jesus. You just need to stand up in God. But it's such an encouragement in terms of faith and prayer and vision to be stood up with a bunch of other people that seem just as weird as you. I can use that word in the right sense. So if you're not in a small group yet and you're part of the congregation, the outreach one is great. We have a workplace small group. We have a marketplace one. Doesn't really matter. But I just found in my own life, it's just easier to be with others when you're kind of bearing witness to who Jesus is. Last couple of thoughts, really, and then we're going to pray and people are going to get set free. You're going to find some freedom. Jesus is going to touch your life in the next few minutes. I know it because he already told me that at the beginning. A couple of more things. Jesus will always lift your head above the parapet of circumstances. What I mean by that is that whatever is going on around you, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, Jesus will put your head slightly above it. Now, there's a plus and a minus with that. The plus is you can see. The minus is you're a target. Now, I can't remember who it was that said something to me in the last couple of days. It doesn't matter who it was. They said, sometimes when you are living for Jesus, it's like the world's put a target on your back and the devil's shooting arrows at it. That is a load of rubbish. I'm sure it wasn't anybody here because you're too smart. The Bible says that we have a shield which extinguishes every arrow of the enemy. We're not supposed to walk around with a target with loads of arrows called fear and hurt. No. Faith will not allow them to penetrate that much. Thank you very much. I know where it is. It's Ephesians 6. So you might be like, oh, I don't know. I've never told anybody that I'm a Christian before. And the theory is, Jesus will not allow that arrow to hit you. Because when we stand up in him. He lifts our heads above the parapet. Why? Somebody's got to see the clear air. We were driving down from Horsham this morning. I said, it's a bit grey down here. And Janet said, the cloud's really low. It's like it must be. It was on the A24. I was expecting aircraft to, you know, be flying up past Ashington. It's like you're joking. But then suddenly it parted and you could see. I think all of us live a little bit like that sometimes. You know, we know the route. We know the journey. We pray a bit. We worship a bit. You come a bit on a Sunday. You know, we give into all of that. But it's still a bit foggy. Do you know what I mean by that? I don't really know what I'm doing. Can I just say that the wind of God, the Holy Spirit, wants to blow the fog away today? He doesn't want to lead us by fog. He wants to lead us by faith. He doesn't want to lead us by, I'm not quite sure. No. When you trust in Jesus, you are very sure. I've heard it said that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. It is not. It's a myth. Faith is not a risk. Not having faith is a risk. I know in whom I've believed. The last couple of things is that when we stand up in Jesus, just like Paul did, just like many of you have already, and I'm encouraging you all to do it again, is that we put our trust in his ability. We put our trust in his ability. The challenge with that is not only do we know that God is able, but he'll do it in the way he wants to do it. How many of you have kind of heard from God? It's like, yeah, I know God wants to get me over there. And I'm going to get there. That's not what this is talking about. God is saying, I want you to get over there, but you're going to trust me for every step. Well, last time, there isn't a last time. There's a now time and a next time. Well, last time God said that, he did. No, that's not what this is talking about. If it would have been that, then Paul would have ended up killing more Christians. But no, Paul had to have a last time to have a first time, but he never went back to the last time. You don't have to either. You might think God thinks you're brilliant. You might think God hates you. He actually does love you. He loves you enough to have died for you. That's proof for me. And then the last thing, confidence is funny. We do loads of things when we're confident. We do less when we're not confident. But when we stand up in Jesus, he is our confidence. Another little word is competence. We're able to do something. And we've all got abilities. You're a very talented, gifted bunch of people. But there's a weakness in that, in as much as if we're relying on that, then it'll always be less than God's competence. Let's all stand up, shall we? Jesus wants you to know that when you stood up And you're standing up right now. We're standing up with a new opportunity to do something new and great for God. God doesn't want to redo Monday like last Monday. He wants to do something new. He doesn't want a week coming like the last week that's gone, or your most favourite week, or the week that you're trying to avoid, or the week that he doesn't want it like that. He just wants the week to be strong. He knows our hearts, the Bible says. Just close your eyes just for a moment. It won't be doing this for long. And just imagine this for a moment. You are not the worst of all sinners. Paul said he was. You're not the most evil, most wrongdoing, most idiotic person that God has ever met. And even if you were, God is still saying, stand up. Come on then. Let's journey together. You may have mucked up, slipped up, done all kinds of stuff. But Jesus is still saying, get up and stand up. I believe it's time for the Christian community in Worthing, you, me, Bognor Regis. We love Bognor Regis. I believe it's time for Christians to stand up. Not stand up for human rights, but stand up in the power of God. We don't have any human rights. It's a myth. The only right that the Bible says I have is the right to be called a son of God. That's all I want. That's all I need. That's all I long for. We don't have human rights. Hallelujah. Jesus has become my human right. Thank you, God, that you made me right before you and before people, and I receive that afresh. Where I've messed up, forgive me. Where I've said something in error, forgive me, Jesus. Where I've reacted instead of responding, Lord, forgive me. When I've seen you as a judge and someone to whip me, forgive me, because you're not like that. Jesus, when I've just felt I can't, forgive me, because I know in you I can. Jesus, when I've just said I won't, when you've said do it, forgive me, Lord, give me a new heart. I want to serve you. It's time to stand up. When I felt so weak, Lord, I give you that weakness because I'm standing in your strength today. You are the rock of my salvation. When sickness or tiredness or pain has tried to push me down, today, Lord, I'm standing up in your health. I'm standing up in your health today. I'm standing up in your life today. I'm standing up, not in what I can do, but in what you have done for me. When I just not felt loved or appreciated by anyone, I just felt like, well, whatever's just happening. Today, Jesus, I'm standing up in the love of God. You didn't just love me with words, you loved me with deeds. The greatest one is that you died for me. If you want to, you can lift up your hands and just begin to give thanks for who he is, because we're all standing. I see everybody standing. I appreciate that. As we're doing this, I don't know whether you know Jesus or not. You might go to church. You might read your Bible. That's great. Good people do that, and Christians do that, but that doesn't make you a Christian. You might pray a bit. I have no idea. It's good, but that's not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is that we recognize I can't do it without God. I need God. And I need him so much that I'm going to give him my life and I'm going to exchange his life for mine. I'm going to acknowledge I need help. I keep doing it wrong and I don't want to do it wrong, but I can't get out of it. So I'm going to give my life to Jesus, and Jesus says he's going to give his life back to me. If that's what you want to do, you can do that right now. You don't need loads of words. You just need sincere hearts. God, I can't do it. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired. I just can't do it anymore. God, I'm going to give this situation to you. I trust you. I believe in you. I thank you. I acknowledge you. I thank you that you are Lord and that you are God. And I exchange my weakness for your strength. I exchange my poverty for your richness right now. I exchange where I'm weak for where you are strong. I just exchange this sense of I can't into that sense of you can through me. I want to exchange, this is just for a couple of you, this sense of I'm just stuck where I am forever. With the reality that Jesus came to set me free. Everything that we deal with right now is our reality. But it's not God's. God shed blood so that we could be free. That's real. God came and did what we could never do. That's real. God will do it again if we ask him to. That's real. The Bible says that he removes all our wrongdoings as far as the east is from the west, which never meet. And he doesn't just forgive us, he also forgets. That's Jesus. So Father, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice, everybody in J24/7. Thank you for all of our young people. They're out with parents, with families. Wherever they are, that this week, these next 7 days, we will all stand up. We'll all bear witness. We'll all see eyes and ears opened in whatever way is right. We'll all see the lame walk. We'll all see people find freedom, whether it's in the home or the workplace or the open space. I thank you that you're saying, stand up, get up, be strong, and be courageous. If there's anybody thankful in the room, just let God know you're thankful right now. Come on, let's celebrate him. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.